I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine.
And Caroline.
Today, we're going to be talking about fitting into niches. Mm-hmm. More specifically, not having to fit into a niche or fitting into multiple niches and why you should fit multiple personas.
Exactly. Why you can, like, embrace different niches and understand them and feel associated with them, but you don't necessarily have to box yourself into things. And it can be really easy to box yourself into something or to feel attached to one thing and that you can never be something else.
I know I always talk about this idea of like contradicting yourself and why you should be like a little bit of a hypocrite or have some contradictions to add, you know, spice and variety and, you know, interest into your life. And so this gives the same sort of take on. But before we get into the actual bulk of the episode, one, merch is still available. Surprised that no one is, not, neither of us are wearing it right now. If you are watching on YouTube, which you can, or if you're seeing this on like a clip on our Instagram at Girls with Goals Pod or at Anne Catherine Canine, at Caroline Canine, those socials will all be linked below, but same accounts for Instagram and TikTok. But I feel like one of us is always, most of the time, me, like quite literally every day. And most of the time when we do record, I'm wearing the Impress Yourself collection merch hoodie because it's like gorgeous and white and blue and beachy and vibey, and it puts you in a good energy. So if you want to get one as
and if you want to feel the exact same way,
if you
want to
feel that energy, the link is in the show notes below. Or on any of our bios, any of the account bios. You can just click on over, check out the merch. There's a beanie as well. I know it's warming up. But if you want to get a matching beanie, a matching set, as well as the hoodie, the world is your oyster. Highs, lows, and goals.
My high of the week, I went to yoga twice this week. And
twice? When else did you go?
Well, I went on Tuesday. And now did you I go went with on all Sunday. Them? Yeah, I went with what? Them. A group of my friends often goes to yoga, and yoga, there are classes at our gym that are included, and so I've never been one to do yoga consistently outside of it, but I've always wanted to, like, challenge myself more with it and try to take it on more, but it was just, like, never something that I was, like, paying for outside of my typical gym,
But my gym now has yoga classes. And I was like, damn, I've been going here for a couple months and I haven't taken advantage of having free yoga classes. And so I went on Tuesday, loved it so much. I had such a great time. So today's Sunday. I went again this morning as like a Sunday recovery. And I really enjoy it. So I'm excited to, like, low pressure because I'm not necessarily paying per class. I'm just paying for my gym membership really nice. And be able to, like,
well, I mean, yeah, at that. The end of the day, I'm paying for it.
At the end of the day, I'm paying for
fat,
it.
Fat, like, but gym bill that I pay. I would say but
it's definitely my high of the week because I've struggled to enjoy yoga a little bit more in the past. And I really had a good time. I felt like I was in tune with it.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. My high of the week is I did wake up this morning. So my low of the week is that it's almost 3 p.m. and I haven't been outside today. It's a Sunday. But there's a high within that, so okay. We'll get to it, is because I have been the past couple weeks, I know we talked about this in last week's episode, and it was kind of like a negative thing because I had to wake up early to go somewhere and I had to like get the episode out. So I woke up early and got it done. And for the past 3 weeks, I've been doing that. Mm-hmm. And it is so nice. Of course, it's like a Sunday, the episode is due Monday, like we know the drill, like we've been around, we know the drill, but a lot of the time that means I am up or we're up for the entire night. On a Sunday night, like going into the week, is just not the vibe.
It's not the vibe.
It's just not the energy. It makes me really tired, and no one wants to be like up trying to finish their work at the end of the day. So the past couple weeks, I've gotten up early, edited, and, like, gotten everything prepped. And then I have my day, or at least the afternoon and night.
Absolutely.
And it's done and dusted. I don't have to, like, think about it and worry. And then I wake up on Monday, and I'm like, it's out to the world. Woo. So I did that today. I woke up, even though I think I got home at, like, 2 last night. But my alarm was set. Like, I set my alarm.
We had such a silly night.
I set my alarm the night before because I knew I was going to do this, and I knew I was going to thank myself for it. Mm-hmm. And I did sit there in my bed from, like, 7 to 11 editing. And my room was a mess, and I needed to shower, and it just wasn't fun in that sense. But I got it done, and then I rewarded myself by resetting absolutely everything. Like, I reset. I'm, like, my sheets are in the dryer right now. Mm. That is the last step.
I need to do laundry
badly. That is, like, the icing on the cake for my closet is clean. I cleaned out my desk. I cleaned out, like, I have a small room, so there's all the, like, podcasting equipment goes under my bed. And a lot of the times, we're like, okay, just throw it.
We just shove it. We just shove, like, it right under her bed.
Throw it, or it, like, goes in the corner of my room or, like, in the closet, and I don't like that because it's just a lot of things in my really small room. So I just, like, reorganized everything under my bed, put new, like, little door boxes, which, by the way, all the camera stuff has a new box, so be aware of that.
Okay.
Like, clean the kitchen, and I can't, my room is like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, sparkling, yeah, right now. That's nice. And I'm so excited to
finally make my bed. I
really
hope that I can get myself to do the same this afternoon.
But. And it's bright and sunny out, and so when we're done recording, I get to, like, have a day because the episode for definitely tomorrow is out and about. Mm. It's ready to rumble.
Can I ask what makeup you have on? It looks really good. And really? I thought this the other day too. Sometimes I think that in Catherine's makeup, like, sometimes I think she'll wear concealer that is, like, a little bit too orange for her or something.
I don't know. I get pale,
like,
in the
what
winter.
Are you doing? Because honestly, I feel like your skin looks really smooth and glowy. Your eyelashes look so long.
I do have really long eyelashes. They're
your eyelashes look so
blonde.
Long, and you look, like, dewy and bright.
Thank you.
Do you have any blush on at all?
No.
That's just you.
Okay. So here's so my low. Let's just hit all of them. My other low, so first of all, my high was today I got my work done and I can go have a day. Mm-hmm. My low was, what was my low? I said my low first. Who knows? Rewind. Oh my God. Hit the rewind. Okay, here's my new low, is that my face is so crusty. It's like,
oh, that's
so
what it
dry.
Was. You felt crusty. You told me that that was your low.
I know, but I think I said a low before, but I just was talking and forgot. So
that's so interesting. I think you look so opposite of crusty right
that's
now.
So
but that's okay, because it's
so
about how you feel.
So I feel so crusty right now. Like, my face, I don't know why it's, like, dry. I don't feel crusty otherwise. Like I just said, I reset everything. Like, freshly, I washed my hair yesterday. And for some reason, like, my skin is just so dry.
Yeah.
And it's not the best feeling. So, this is my makeup routine. So, I don't actually know anything about makeup. And I don't typically, like, do a whole face. But now that I've been, like, in an office every day.
Yeah.
I've been doing a whole face because, and it takes me like 2 seconds because I, the steam room, I sit in the steam room every day after the gym, and that I think like preps me. And then this is the step. One, mm-hmm. sunscreen moisturizer.
Okay.
Two, gel type moisturizer. You know, like a oh. one of those, like another. So it's like the CeraVe or Cetaphil, one of them. It's like the AM and the PM. I use them both at once in the morning. And then this is the kicker.
Okay.
Vaseline.
Or on your entire face?
Everyone knows this.
Do you have this on your face right
yes.
now?
Wow.
And Kevin's like, here's my makeup routine. Layer. Vaseline.
Yeah. So it's the tiniest layer. I absolutely love Vaseline. I have one of those big ones and it's empty now. I'm like scrounging at the bottom. I have a big one and then I have a little teeny one that's like travel size and I bring it with me everywhere.
Wow.
Because I'm allergic to chapstick, guys. I can't use any chapsticks or I will literally like get an allergic reaction on my mouth and no one wants that.
No.
No.
So you I don't, can, I don't.
No, I, one no one does. So I can only use Vaseline. Anyway, so my skin was really dry like a few months ago and I just like put like it's slugging for the daytime,
but just like
minimally. So instead of using like big chunks, it's like the tiniest little layer. You just like put a layer on and then I let it
marinate,
take a moment, and then concealer. I use 3 different concealers
at the same time.
Yep. So it's not for any reason. I just, who knows, sometimes I put it on and I'm like, this one's too white, this one's too orange. I can't
whatever you're doing right now, it seems right.
Thank you.
It does.
Thank you. Right now, it's actually 2. It's the Tarte Shape Tape, which is empty. Because so I had 3. One of them died. And then one of them, the Tarte, is empty. And then this other one is, I don't know. But it's like, juicy right now. And so I like it when they're juicy. And I think that one's a little whiter. Like, I do like it when it's whiter. I like rather when my concealer is, like, lighter. Okay, so then concealer on this under and eyes. Then like up
okay
up there. Well, I don't actually, I just put a dot and then I like beauty blender it out and then I do a contour stick. It's the Fenty one. Mm-hmm. But it kind of gives orange and I need a new color okay. because I like it when it's like more muted and okay. like brown rather than orange, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I contour.
You get a dark concealer. People do that sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I need it to be empty before. It's expensive. So then I contour just a little bit like that. Yeah. I like go with my cheekbones and then on my chin and on this and on my nose.
Right.
I also, in the summer though, I will like, I once again on my mouth, I can't use chapstick because I will get an allergic reaction, but I'm out in the sun all the time. And so I don't want my lips to get sunburned. Right.
Right.
So I have zinc oxide, like straight up just zinc. And I will put a little bit on my, like, I got it as chapstick because right. it doesn't give me an allergic reaction. But then I'll put a strip of my nose and I'll put, like, this. And so I'm just out. And
you think it naturally contours your face?
I have a very, like, bony face.
Good sometimes. For you.
Well, like, on my nose. Sometimes it's, like, out. You know what I mean? So then...
Okay.
So then I was doing that all summer. It's awesome. It's, like, DIY contour and then you never... Like, your face just, like, it brings it out.
Yeah.
So... That's what I do. Oh, and then mascara. I am a waterproof mascara. Like, I will always and forever use waterproof
mascara. She'd be crying.
No, well, I just don't take it off. And if I don't have waterproof mascara, it also smudges throughout the day.
Okay.
So I put, but I like the, there's one non-waterproof that I got, like, mom got me for Christmas, and I really like it. I think it's the
Tarte one and a Man-Eater. Came with it. Yeah,
is that
yeah.
It's like I a mini it. One. And so that's I use that one because it's like elongating. And I have really long eyelashes, which is the craziest turn of events because otherwise, like, the hair on my head doesn't grow. So why are my eyelashes super long? Also, they're really blonde is the whole thing. So I use that because it makes them like, I don't know. But then that's not waterproof. So it's going to smudge and get everywhere. So then I take a waterproof mascara and I think it just, a random one, I kind of don't like it. And then I put it on top. I put it on top so it kind of seals in the, like, now it's waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
And I go about my business.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
So essentially it's 3 things. Concealer, contour, and mascara. And Vaseline.
Yeah.
So.
But your low is that you feel crusty.
Oh, yeah, I do feel crusty.
That's unfortunate.
So my goal, actually...
You should order. Last week, I same-day Amazon deliveried... an exfoliating mitt, and it just is this fabric that...
Could you not have walked to the store and gotten something? no, I like wanted this specific thing. It's like a specific material. I don't know that you can purchase this in the store. But it was sitting somewhere in a warehouse and they were able to deliver it the same day for only $2 extra.
I feel so bad for Amazon same day delivery. Like, can we not overwork them? They're working so hard. I just feel sad for them. Like, go.
I was craving like a deep exfoliated cleansed feeling. And so I got this glove in the shower and it's really like good. I did it after the steam room because you're like so like steamy and your skin is so prepped. And then you just put the glove on and you just rub it. And truly, truly, like it makes my skin, it has made it so soft. And I've only done it twice now. Wow. But then I moisturize after and it's so beautiful. I
marinated a bowl up.
So I'm just saying, I feel like that would make you feel less crusty because it, like doing body skincare has like done wonders for my less crustiness recently.
Okay. Yeah, well said. So my goal, I just thought it up, is I want an avocado oil. Well, I want just avocado oil to put in my hair as like an oil.
Okay.
Mask. So
that's the goal.
That's my goal, is to get it, because I always, it's one of those things that I'm like, for weeks I've been like, oh, I'm going to go get it. Oh, and did I say this last week? I need to organize our like hard drive.
Nope, you didn't.
No, but I mean, that's another one of my goals. This week, like, it will get done because it's unorganized right now.
So my low, picture this, I have a backpack on my back. I've been out for the day. I worked at a coffee shop, so I got my work stuff. I got my computer. I got my computer charger. That's just about it. I also went to the gym, though, so I have, like, a change of clothes, a pair of sneakers, makeup, all of that. So my backpack's decently heavy. It's on my back. On the way home from the gym, I stop at Trader Joe's to pick up a few items. The line is so long that to make it worth it, I have to pick up more than just a few items.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So now I've done a full grocery shop. Two doubled bags, one in each of my hands. Heavy. You know, there's, like, an almond milk in there. Like, that's heavy.
Yeah, it's a couple pounds for
backpack
sure.
On my back, and it's probably a 10-minute walk home. 5 to 10. It's no more than 10, but definitely not less than 5. And I was truly in pain every step. Like, I was nervous that my back was gonna give out, and it was just really bad.
Do you take the hypotenuse, or do you go around the triangle?
I cut through.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't mentally. It's more fun to not cut through.
Interesting. Well, I just had to get home because my back was hurting, but I was like, I literally, like, it's, I cannot Uber from here. I'm like one, no, I'm like, I'm like Uber. One street over. It's just, like, I couldn't do that, and so I had to walk it home, and it's just, like, not something that I ever want to do again, because I really felt that it was damaging to my back.
That's tough.
I was just carrying so much weight down the street. My goal this week, I got a book, The Four Agreements, recently.
Oh, when'd you get that? Oh, in LA?
No, I actually got it from Amazon after, because I wanted to order it for cheaper.
And that's what's wrong with today's world.
And I started it, and then I read Verity by Colleen Hoover instead, because it's just really a lot easier for me to read a fiction book really quickly. So I always get sidetracked from the more nonfiction-y type books. But I'm, like, very curious about this one. It's a little bit more spiritual, and it's, like, I think it's quite old.
It's been around. I'd say in that realm it's a classic.
So I would say my goal is to at least pick that back up and get back into it.
Anytime that I talk about, like, this idea of a niche, or it's kind of like a stereotype or a personality type, I always liken it to social media and the examples that you see on social media, because I know that I consume these, and I know that if you're listening, you're consuming those, like, social media curated archetypes. Yeah. Because how else would you have found us or started listening to us or have been into, like, this space of health and wellness and podcasts and, like, content in that sense. It's an amazing thing that it exists and people are able to gravitate towards and learn about and be exposed to different archetypes and ways of living through social media. However, you kind of curate your social media, your feed, or the content you're consuming in that sense to only show you one archetype, one personality trait, one way of living, when that is not an accurate representation of every possible thing that you could be. And it also makes you feel like you are only allowed to be one set type of person. Yeah. When you are allowed to be a mix of every single personality type that interests you.
Mm-hmm. I think in some cases, your Explore page and For You page could go down that rabbit hole of only showing you one thing. I think also, on the other hand, it's so amazing that through social media, you can see
an abundance of different lifestyles that you could be living, different values and ways of life. At the same time, though, I think overexposure to that can make you feel like there is always something that you're missing. You can be absolutely everything. You can have different parts of yourselves that are all of these different things, but it's hard to always be expressing all of the different sides of you at the same time, mm-hmm. I think. So I think when I see on social media all these different types of people, there's a lot of these archetypes and niches that I can relate to, but sometimes they'll take over at different parts of my life, or there's always something that I feel like isn't up to par or isn't up. Like, if I haven't traveled in a while, then suddenly I feel like mm-hmm. I've lost that, like, travel side of me. If I feel like I haven't been studying or working very hard, then I feel like I've lost that, like, drive, hustle side of me. And just by being exposed to all of those different niches and things all the time, I think the overexposure can sometimes make you feel like you're always missing something.
Yeah. The other side of that, too, is when you're letting different archetypes and personality traits and ways of life match, you know, the phase of life that you're in, naturally you're going to be more involved in one style than another.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that's going to change and evolve and kind of flip-flop as you go. And that's how it should be. But when you're thinking through it as how is this presenting itself to the world, like how are the people around me seeing this, when you're thinking through how you express yourself in that sense through other people's eyes rather than just your living yeah. your life and doing your thing, which I think is a huge impact of social media, because we see other people expressing themselves so rigidly into one style that we feel like we have to do the same, that it makes it really difficult to conceptualize all the different styles that you take on and feel like when you're one, you have to be only one, and everything else that you have been and everything else that you will be is just non-existent.
That was actually like a really cool point. It made me think that pinning yourself to one niche is almost performative in a way that it's not natural. It's not natural for you to be just one thing, or for you to be so niched down to something so strongly that you are in a box with it. But it's easy to box yourself in almost in a performative way, because when we see people show up on social media with, you know, their bio and their boxes that are supposed to be representative of everything, it almost feels like everyone can only be one archetype and one person. So then suddenly I think it can make you overthink and start living to fit the mold
mm-hmm.
of the niche that it feels like you're portraying instead of living as yourself yeah. fully.
Sometimes I think about that. I mean, I love having a feed that I feel like is representative of myself. I've always thought of my social media as, in a selfish sense, as like a little scrapbook of mm-hmm. who I am and what I've done. It's, at the end of the day, like, it's for me, and I love that I feel like the vibe and the energy and the experiences that I'm, you know, taking pictures of and posting are representative of who I am. That said, if I take a picture at night and I really like it and I like the, I want to remember that, and I'm like, oh, I want to post this,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna second guess it and I'm not gonna post it because everything else on my feed has been designed to fit like beach, outside, sunny, blue sky yeah. and I love that because those are my favorite things. Like, those are the most energizing things in the world to me. When I look at my feed, I get energized because I love it. I feel like I've crafted it to what I'm really interested in and mm-hmm. what really reflects me. That said, I now feel like I can't post this or express like a different side of myself because it doesn't fit the mold that I've built for myself.
It's even interesting going back and forth from living in Boston in more of a city to then when we go home to the coast of New Hampshire where it's very small town beach vibes. I feel like those are two very different lifestyles, and even just that flipping back and forth can make me overthink of like, well, what niche do I fit into? Is it like slow life beachy vibes, or am I like a city girl? You know, like, mm-hmm. and it's like, you don't have to choose. That's such, it's so overthinking it, but I don't necessarily know what drives those thoughts. Is it me really needing to feel like I have one identity, or is it me trying to figure out how I portray myself to other people, which I think is more likely the case, like
yeah.
how you're viewed through other people's eyes? Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter to me if I am a city girl or a beach girl, because I know that I enjoy a balance of both, you know. But it's like, then you think about which way that you want to be portrayed, and it can stop you from living the natural course of your life almost yeah. if you're letting yourself be pushed into one box or another.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals, and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
I think life would be a lot easier, and how we view ourselves would be a lot kinder if we stopped thinking about ourselves from a third person perspective, through other people's eyes, like with that judgment, and instead just thought through ourselves as ourselves and didn't try and over conceptualize it and didn't try and, you know, look at it from an outside world and fit who you are into these rigid niches, and rather just exist as you are and take your interests and take what resonates and and move along.
What do you, I feel like we should think about like what we feel like those niches actually are.
To be honest,
are so many like subgenres as well too. I think even within health and wellness, there's then like super fitness, and then there's super like maybe spiritual in a way, and then there's super wellness and super nutrition. And I almost feel like I always get confused about where I fit into that, because I'm like, I enjoy lifting weights and going to the gym, but I so do not feel like your typical gym rat niche whatsoever. There are so many things in that gym rat niche category that I absolutely do not subscribe to. However, I love lifting weights and I go to the gym, but I'm like, some of my values fit more with the health and wellness side, but you know, it's it's just hard to,
and
like,
again, that's not to say that there isn't a whole, for lack of a better word, consumer base of people who are like that, who kind of fall in the middle, because it's not really you're falling in the middle, it's just that's where you are. But because these niches and these ways of, it is a natural way of your brain kind of sorting people and things and vibes into categories. But when, obviously no one is going to be a perfect, like 100% just one category. You are going to take things from every different category, and you are going to be a mix of your different interests and a mix of the different activities and things that you put your energy towards. And that's when you kind of feel like, I don't have a place. Do I even fit into one of these niches? But no one fits into those niches because they are so rigid. And it's a good thing that we kind of have these ways to conceptualize people and interests and, you know, bring you closer to people that may be more similar to you. But
it's really hard when you don't feel like you fit fully into one category because, you know, you are health and wellness, but you also are travel and you also are
business and study and school.
You also are like all of these things that make up who you are and your interests and what unique niche you fit into. And so it makes it really difficult when you over conceptualize that both on a personal level and when you go and try and express yourself to others, because where do you fall then?
I think if you've never looked at yourself as like a fashion girl or a music girl or a travel girl, it can be hard to even start exploring new things in those realms because you see other people so strongly niched down to those things that you feel like it's hard for you to even dip your toe in the water. Mm-hmm. Because it's like if you can't, that like I struggle with that sometimes, feeling like if I can't do something 100%, I'm almost like why do it at all, which is such a wrong way to think. And I'm trying to get better at that, being able to, like, do a little bit of everything mildly and not care about, you know, what it means in my definition of myself, kind of. But I do think, like, every person is gonna have multiple interests spread across. But then when you think of specific people, you'll think of somebody as, like, so fashion, so music, so travel, so business. And we kind of box other people in. And maybe that's, like, maybe that's something that you should practice not doing, like maybe not boxing other people in and seeing them as more complex people, because maybe that would help you be less judgmental to yourself and allow yourself to expand a bit more. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I do like the concept of, like I was saying, having those archetypes that are like essentially fake people, super saturated versions of these different interests and these different lifestyles that, like I said, no one is 100% just one way of living. It is helpful, though, to kind of categorize and figure out who you may gain insight from, who you may connect with, who you may be friends with, who you may want to learn from. And it's helpful to put into perspective other people, but also to put yourself into perspective to an extent. That's the difficult part, because it's helpful and validating and provides a sense of security when you know who you are and you can kind of pinpoint or pick out these different archetypes, these different niches, these different interests. But when you start to over-conceptualize, and that's when the contradictions come into play, is when two things that on paper might not, you know, support each other, balance each other out, but in practice with yourself, they make up who you are. And that's when it is an amazing thing to be contradictory and be a little bit of a hypocrite sometimes and live your life in that sense until you start overthinking it and over-conceptualizing. And then that's when it's like existential crisis, because now you're like, how can I exist being both of these things when they're not supposed to go together? But in reality, everyone has examples like that. And everyone has parts of themselves that may not go perfectly together or be from different ways of living.
Yeah.
But when in practice, in their own personality and their own lifestyle, make absolute perfect sense and fit for them.
Yeah. I feel like the examples that just came to mind for me with that is like, how can you be super fitness oriented but also like a big foodie and stuff? That I feel like that seems contradictory to people. Or how can you be super career focused but also love vacations? You know, I don't know.
Like super basic things. And one thing I always think about is the types of people that I gravitate towards and, you know, think highly of and value my relationships with. Most of the time, we are very different people on paper and have very different lifestyles. But the connections are either fundamentally, we have very similar values that just manifest differently, or we have experiences that we can connect on and from there build a relationship off of. And that's where these differences between you and the people you care about, of course, if it gets to be like a very deep lifestyle and foundational difference, then it may not mesh in the long run. But having people that aren't 100% like you in your life and around you is so insightful, and you can learn so much. And I think it just provides so much more depth to life and to relationships and makes things a lot better. It would be so boring if everyone was the same person and if everyone fit into
one niche and wasn't complex.
Having people around you that are contradictory of yourself and contradictory of each other a little bit, or just, you know, varying interests and lifestyles and expertises and all of those things, I think that it'll help you box yourself in less as well, because they say you're like a combination of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. So you can take things from all different people and you can learn things from all different people. And also, if you're only around people who are exactly like you and think the exact same way as you, then
that's no fun.
It's no fun. It's almost like you're, there's like a term I'm looking for, but it's like you're like it's just bouncing back to you. An echo chamber. Yes, there's like no other, there's nothing else coming in. You're just like in this echo chamber, and you,
right, there's no, there's nothing to challenge you. There's nothing to like stretch your brain or add interest or variety into your life, and that's so boring.
And that is a way that social media can be great about it, because it does give you that exposure to, you know, if you live in a town where people are all very similar, if you live in a family where everyone thinks very similarly and there's not that much diversity and ideas and interests and things like that, mm-hmm. that you can tap into these other communities and you can be exposed to these other communities. Mm-hmm. It's such a great thing, like, at its core. It's just when we start to over-conceptualize it and be overwhelmed by how many different options of life there are and how many different interests there are. But I do think that it's cool to be able to see how so many different people live and see the world if you maybe don't have that same level of diversity mm-hmm. around you.
I think the over-conceptualizing point is huge, because one of the biggest takeaways from this, if you are over-conceptualizing or if you are struggling with, like, thinking that it's difficult or not okay to fit in a million different niches, is that when you look at how you live your life and the things around you and the things that make up who you are, no one else is breaking it down like you are. No one else is, like, overthinking and over-conceptualizing your personality and your interests like you are. My room at home is like fully, like, we've all seen it. It's like fully white. Like, my duvet cover is, like, my bed is white. The walls are white. The carpet is like gray and white. It's crazy. Like, my bathroom wall, like, it's like, there's no art on the walls. There's no like spice. There's no pizzazz. The only like flair, I guess, would be, and I love it. The only like art piece or like personality point is I have a bunch of sticky notes on the back of my wall that I've have like mm-hmm. little drawings or little sayings on them that I've put up over time. And sometimes I love my room, but sometimes I overthink it and I'm like, there's what of me is here. On the flip side, my room in Boston is like, my bed is gray, and on the wall I have a painting of like a Chanel lollipop and then there's a Buddha head in the corner, and I have books on my desk mm-hmm. and I have plants in there. And sometimes I overthink it and I'm like, the painting of the like Chanel lollipop and the elephant from Cambodia I got when traveling, like, those can't both live in my room. Those can't both be me, because they're two very different energies and different mm-hmm. vibes and different personalities. And like, gray, am I a gray duvet person? Like, this is crazy. Or I just like overthink and overconceptualize, and in my head sometimes I get way too deep into it mm-hmm. and I'm like, there's no way these two things can exist at once and be a reflection of me, because how can I be these two things at once? But one time my friend was over and they were like, oh, your room is so you, like, of course that's your room. Or maybe, oh, I think it was someone came over for the first time and didn't know whose room was whose.
Oh, and they just
in knew. Here, and they just like guessed, because Caroline's room looks exactly like Caroline's room. Our roommate Anna's room looks exactly like Anna. And my room looks exactly like me. And they just guessed instantly, because they are reflections of who we are. And no one else is going into your room or looking at your life and breaking it down and over-conceptualizing, being like,
categorizing.
Being like, that's pink, that's gray. Absolutely not. Like, no way those two can exist. But I just think it's so interesting that everyone is different and everyone gives off different energies, because you give off, like, your own energy.
Yeah.
You give off your own personality. You are your own combination of all these things that make up who you are. And other people really, really value that. And that's what draws people to you. That's what sets you apart. When people look at you, they don't see all the little things that make up who you are. They see those things working together and they appreciate that combination.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché.
Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, and their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarche.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
There's so much pressure to fit in a niche and to be part of a niche. And I think a huge piece of that is that niches are like trends. We had that girl. Mm-hmm. And then there's clean girl, and then it's like becomes like messy girl when you have someone like Alex Earl who's like showing a messy room, then everyone's like, oh, it's like cool, messy,
and like minimalism, maximalism,
yeah,
like,
minimalism, maximalism, the like,
it's also weird that it's even with it, so
like,
fast,
it's like people talk about how like fashion trends change like crazy. What is trendy in terms of like a body is changing like mm-hmm. in and out constantly, like trends change so much, and so now I think that we've even taken on trends of a type of person and a specific niche of a person, and you just can't keep up with that. Like it would be exhausting, I think, yeah, to try to keep fitting into a box. And you can be inspired and take inspiration from things, because like, of course I want to look at a clean girl aesthetic and I want to be a bit cleaner, or I want to like look at a minimalist thing and be like, you know, you like things and you see things that you like and can pick things out of all these different niches, but there's so much pressure to define which of those you are, and also to keep up with the changing trends of them. It's just impossible.
I think at the end of the day, though, after you've become aware of, like, yes, you can give space to all your interests, is then putting intention and putting effort behind that. Because, like Caroline said, there are times in your life where things are going to take precedent and things are going to shift to be more important and take up more space in your life. Like, ways of being. That doesn't mean that the other parts of you like fall by the wayside and just go away and don't exist within you. So if you're sensing that that's the case, or you're feeling like one thing is taking over, or you haven't like given space to the other things, put some intention behind that. And I know there's a range and there's a scale of like what is actually the biggest parts of your life. I made a list of some of the things, like the contradictory things, I guess, that or the different parts of myself. I know in the first page of my journal, and I've had this same book for like a year and a half now, and sometimes I open it to the first page and I read these. There are like 5 points of things that I've conceptually said are like, these make up who I am, and they're all very different. And every time I go back to it, I'm reminded of all those parts, even though maybe in that moment I'm thinking I'm only one of those parts. But then I'm like, oh, I actually am all these parts. And it's really energizing to be reminded of like what makes up who you are. So that could be a good exercise, like a good journal exercise. Sit down and write down a list, like no pressure, of everything that makes up who you are. I have a longer list too, and it's like literally one time I was feeling so like out of body and I made this list of things that make up who I am. And some of them are like the painting in my room,
or driving a Jeep. That's like, and I'll talk about that in a moment, that's like core to who I am because of the like building things and the like cars and stuff like that, which is so not like, you wouldn't see that when you look at me or like look at my Instagram, because that's like the reflection of who I am. You would think, oh, beach, summer, not like, oh, she definitely like
enjoys uses a car
wrench and like does I don't know, or like builds things. Like I go through phases where I'm like, I built like a door rack for the Jeep doors, or we have a bunch of surfboards at home, and so I just like drilled things into the wall, and now they hang nicely on this like art on our wall. Or we live like by the water. Our dad grew up on boats with his dad, and now we've had a family boat for a while, and every summer he and I like put the boat in together, and I go to the marina with him, and we like put wax on the boat, and it's like, who would have thought that no one would think that I like enjoy doing that, but I do, and I enjoy like putting it on a little trailer and like doing all the little things. And that's so not that doesn't go with like health and wellness, doesn't go with like running and fitness and like wearing Aritzia. But it's part of who I am, and it's honestly a big part of who I am, and it falls by the wayside a lot until I give myself a project like that. And oftentimes it happens in the summer. But if it's like fixing things, like building things, like that I really enjoy. And so that's not something that takes precedent every day. That's not a huge part of who I am, like working out, going to the gym, keeping my space clean, blah, 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 things that pop up every single day. So that's something that takes extra effort to make a priority in my life. And I know that when I do, I'm going to really enjoy it, and I'm going to really feel like myself because I'm like, wow, this is a part of me that I haven't tapped into in a while. This is great.
I think that that is such a good exercise, and I want to do it too. And I want everyone listening to try to do it if you have a minute, if you find a minute. Write down everything you can think of that you enjoy or have ever enjoyed, and maybe you've let go of it, and it can be such small things. It can be some of your favorite foods and some of your favorite objects or activities or things. Mm-hmm. Because, and I honestly, I would bet, and I know this would happen to me if I'm writing those things down, I would almost feel tension between things that contradict each other.
No, you're doing it and you're like,
it would almost be a challenge to write something down and almost feel like you have to identify with it, versus if you're writing a list of 100 things and you just don't even think about it and you write everything that you like and you can think of, I think that would be such a freeing practice to do.
Because as you're doing it, you're like, oh, I can't say this is who I am. But like it is, because you thought of it, and it's like there's reasoning. And I think it can be stupid things too. Like some of the things on my list are being a twin.
True.
Or the, like I said, the painting on my wall, or
the type of dog you have, the car you drive, the like
only wear, like I only
a song wear, that you love.
Right. I only wear bathing suits in the summer. Like I'm never gonna put on real clothes unless I have to. That is like a huge energy tap in or like vibe of myself. Mm-hmm. And that may sound like a silly, weird thing, but it is true. It makes me feel like myself. That's like what I'm comfortable in. That's the energy and the lifestyle that I'm really, really happy in. Or the necklace that I've worn every single day for the past 8 years of my life.
Yeah.
Or like the fact that our microphones are blue when we're recording. All the like stupid random things that maybe you don't think of but make a huge impact or subconscious impact on who you are. When you start to become aware of them, it's really, really helpful to one, see the variety of things that make up who you are, and two, just to be aware and connected to the things that make up who you are.
Yeah, I think we should all do that little activity. And just other thoughts on how to embrace your contradictions and not niche yourself down too much. Try new things. Stay open to trying new things, to picking up old things that you might have let go of. Be aware of what you like and don't like, but also don't overthink it. Like, you can not like something in one moment, and then you can try it again and like it in the future, like yoga for me right now. But also, I don't need to be like, I like yoga right now, I have to be a yogi, this has to be who I am.
Like 500 you know? Hours immediately.
I can just enjoy it in this moment. So make space for it and have self-acceptance for all of those different elements that arise in your life.
So to conclude, you are made up of so many things, so many different personalities, so many different ways of being, so many interests. At the end of the day,
it's all you. And that is such a cool thing. So there is no need to feel like you are on the wrong path or you can't have one side of yourself because it doesn't necessarily 100% align and support the other. They can both be true at the same time for yourself because at the end of the day, it's who you are. So if you're feeling like you need to niche down into one thing, or you need to look like what you're seeing on social media from a lifestyle perspective, or you need to only look like that one thing that is on your For You page right now, you don't. You can just live your life and you can try different things, and that can change and that can evolve as you grow, as we always say. But at the end of the day, you should be embracing and supporting and giving space to all the different parts of you. So I hope that this conversation energized you or got you thinking about yourself or got you to stop overthinking about yourself and who you are and overconceptualizing it. If you do want to like put some more intention and effort into this topic, definitely go make a list, like zero pressure, of 5 things, of 10 things, of 100 things, of 1,000,000 things that make up who you are, big or small, and
contradict yourself.
The next step to that, so the first step is like getting them all down and just allowing space for all of them. The second step could be categorize them. And once you have all that, break that down into like a few pillars of who you are. And that's what I have on the first page of like my journal. And I think it is really interesting because they are very different. Like none of them are the same. One is like health, one is travel. Like at the end of the day, those are two very different segments of who I am, but they can blend. Parts of me.
Yeah.
So you can break it down into categories if that's not going to be too like existential for you. But at the end of the day, live your life, do your thing.
And if you do make a list, absolutely share it on your story and tag us, or just send it
to
us.
Or if that's too personal.
Or just send it to us at Girls with Goals Pod, or leave us a comment at Katherine Kinnean, at Caroline Kinnean. We love chatting with you guys, and we will see you next Monday.
Bye.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.